let's go to your background now. You're a lawyer, I think, and you used to work at the commission, but tell me more.
Well, thank you. Yes, I did. To go chronologically, 30 years ago, I worked as a staff attorney. And you have to understand a little bit of how the commission is structured. They have a staff of economists and engineers who analyze requests for rate increases and other actions that cost ratepayers money by utilities. They submit a request for an approval of a rate increase, say. So staff analyzes that information and presents the public protection perspective in a hearing. The utilities on the other side in the case, and then other parties get involved, and they're called interveners, and they can range from consumer interest groups to environmental groups to other utilities or municipal entities. But in any case, staff needs to be represented by lawyers, and I used to be a staff lawyer. More recently, when I went back to work at the commission in 2008, I was hired into the general counsel's office. That's a separate group of lawyers, and their sole job is to advise and represent the interests of the commission, not individual commissioners, the commission. Mm. So when cases complete their hearing and a recommended decision is written by the hearing officer, who is a lawyer acting in the role of a judge, and that recommended decision is presented to the commission, first, it's looked at by lawyers in the general counsel's office to analyze and determine whether or not the commission should approve it the way it is or modify it or come up with an additional alternative or not use it at all or whatever. Then they make their recommendation to the commission in an open meeting. I worked in that role for a couple of years as an associate general counsel.
Okay, so did you decide that you didn't want to do the lawyer work, you wanted to be in charge? Is that why you decided to run?
Well, yes and no. I did decide that I wanted to run, but it's not that I didn't want to do the lawyer work. The lawyer work is really quite interesting from a legal perspective. It's also very complex and hard. And I decided to run really because I felt that we really needed to have people on the commission who had a deeper understanding of the law associated with cases and an understanding of the industry and just a better level of competency in general. Mm-hmm. I was actually kind of disturbed when I started working at the general counsel's office because my recollection, having been from, 25 years prior to that, was that commissioners really knew their stuff. When I was there 30 years ago, there were three commissioners, not five, and they were appointed. They had staggered terms, and they each served at large. They each served the whole state. And the year I was there, there was one of the commissioners was a utility lawyer, another was a utility economist. So these were very skilled professionals in their fields anyhow. You felt assured that whatever decision came out of the commission, it was one that was given a lot of thought and was made by people who really studied the contents of the cases. And I did not feel that way when I was working at the general counsel's office. It was very clear that there was a competency gap. So I decided to run for that reason, and also because I was very concerned about the import of the issues they were dealing with, particularly in connection with renewable energy and the growing issues of climate change. And I was very concerned about whether or not that issue was being handled in a competent way.
Okay. Yeah. You and I have been talking over the phone a little bit about a woman running for this position because this is a position that two women are running against each other for. And there are several women commissioners or who have been commissioners over the years. But I would think that there might be a resistance.
I think times have changed somewhat since when I started there 30 years ago. And as I mentioned, it was a woman, Marilyn O'Leary. She was the utility economist at the time. Prior to her, there had been another woman commissioner, Sue Dean Kelly. I wasn't there when Ms. Kelly was there, but I was pretty young then, and I thought it was very cool that there was a woman commissioner. At that time, it still felt new. Now, it's not so new. But it's cool that we have two women in one race. I think that's new.
Well, how are you finding the campaign? It's a really hard kind of campaign to run because the district is so big that it's hard to get to people. I'm sure you're finding that.
Well, you know, I anticipated that. I knew it was a big district from my last race. And in my last race, I got in the race late, in mid-January. I was the last one in. And it was my first race. So actually, it was my frame of reference. I mean, I knew it was a much bigger district. It's 115 precincts, you know, compared to a legislative district or a senatorial district even. It's much bigger. But like I say, that was my frame of reference. So my volunteers and I just got tough and got walking. But we didn't have a whole lot of time. This time I anticipated that I would need more time to walk. So I left my job last fall and started walking in late October. And a lot of people think, well, that's way too early to walk. But too bad. I walked. People were interested. People were welcoming me at their doors, and they said, I'll keep your card, and they were very interested. So knowing that it was going to be such a big district, I just planned to give it more time, and it's paid off. I feel good about the race. We've covered over 90 precincts. A better measure is doors. We've knocked on close to 9,000 doors. Okay. So it's good.
I saw the chart in your dining room that talks about the number of doors and probably keeps you going.
Yeah, well, yeah, we like to use metrics to, you know, encourage the troops. And, you know, it's encouraging to see how we can make things grow and how we can really make this whole thing work. And it's been exciting. I have to say, I'm enjoying this race. Kind of like, I suppose, the way an extreme athlete enjoys whatever nutty thing they're doing. But I feel better about this race than last race. Let me put it that way.
Do you want to talk about what happened with the public financing? Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, I'm happy to. I started out this race intending to use public financing like I had done in 2012. And I thought we had everything, I thought we had all our paperwork done right. But unfortunately, I had inadvertently accepted an extra check from one of my neighbors. It was a $50 check. You know, we just didn't notice. The first check he gave me was in October, and then the second check was in March. And I thought he had paid me something, and I even said to him, gee, I think you might have paid me. And he said, but I don't remember, and I don't remember how much. Let me just take this. I was leaving his house one evening. We had been there to a party, and so I was ready to get out the door. So he said, just take this with you, and, you know, we'll see what happens, and let me know. And I said, okay. So I guess what happened, and I honestly don't remember, is that I included it, with the other checks because we reported it. And I assume I would have said something to my husband, who was also keeping track of checks. But in any case, somehow we failed to make the check I needed to make. Yeah, I reported it. We just didn't realize we had two of them. Already deposited the earlier checks. We were keeping a long list, but it was five pages apart on the list. It was a long list. And, you know, we even had my manager transposing that list into the Secretary of State's website, and he didn't notice it either. It's an easy mistake to make when you're looking for other mistakes and you're not looking for that type of mistake. And this is not the first time any candidate has ever made a mistake like this or at all. I mean, this is a minor mistake. And I looked up previous cases where people, you know, other candidates had done exactly what I'd done or something similar or worse and were permitted to correct the error, which I did, and submit an amended report, which I did as soon as I learned about it. And then they were permitted to have their public financing. But that was under a Democrat Secretary of State. Maybe that makes a difference. I don't know. Maybe it just depends on the individual Secretary of State. But in this case, as soon as I learned from the Secretary of State's office, I returned the money and submitted an amended report. But the problem was there was a time period that had passed. The Secretary of State was supposed to have notified me within a 10-day period that I would or would not qualify. Well, I was notified at 5:38 in the afternoon of the 10th day after close of business. So the clock had already run. It was impossible for me to cure the error and have a decision made on that cure within the time period. So it was kind of discouraging. The problem was, what do we do now? We don't have any money. And it started to feel like time was trickling through my fingers. And time is the most precious thing in a campaign. So that's why we decided to just pull our money out of the bank account and devoted it to my campaign. It was either sink or swim. You either give up after we've spent, 8 months already on the campaign. I know I try to make my perspective very clearly heard to my campaign manager. I imagine Karen does the same thing.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're quite welcome.
That's a good way to end it.